God bless you, be seated. Concerning that ministry, all these seals, is there any question? If there is no question, oh yeah, come. I never talk finish. You don't put up. Question on the ministry of William Branham and the seven seals. Don't ask me serpent seed. Don't ask me Holy Ghost. Don't ask me anything. Don't ask me marriage and divorce. Yes, give me microphone, somebody. I must make clarification. You know why I say you should ask questions? Because the denominations, they hate this ministry of William Branham. They have spoken all manner of things. All manner of things they have spoken concerning his ministry. So that people will not be aware of the errors they have entered into. But the elect can never be deceived. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. What is the seal? The Lord knoweth them that are his. And none of his will be lost. Amen. Yes, brother, what's your question?
Praise the Lord. Please, my questions are... The first question I would like to... I don't know if they can screen Revelation chapter 20 verse 5.
Revelation chapter 20 verse 5. Revelation chapter 20 verse 5.
Let's start from verse 4, please, sir.
Verse 4.
And said, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And then verse 5, and the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So my question is, despite the warning to the seven churches by the angels, do we have a perfect church that is ready for the rapture? That's the first question.
Now, when you say a perfect church, what is your definition of perfection?
A church that is keeping to that instruction, or should I say the warning to the seven
church
churches.
Of Jesus Christ is known as the bride. The story begins of Ephesians chapter 5. Can we open it? Can we screen it? Take note of what I want to bring up. Chapter 5, verse 24. 25. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Go to verse 25. Now, see, listen, from verse 25, listen very well. Husbands, Apostle Paul was bringing out something. Love your wives, brother, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. When he cleanses, verse 27, that he, Christ, might present that washed and cleansed church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now your question is there such a church? Go to chapter 19 of Revelation. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Now, you have to understand what is the meaning of righteousness, so that you will know whether there is a perfect church. Now, that's why I ask you, what is your definition of perfection? Now, Abraham was perfect before God, correct? Eh?
Yes, sir.
He was referred to as a friend of God.
Yes, sir.
Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
But there was a time Abraham lied. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
There was a time, instead of Abraham to wait on God, he received a free offer, one smoke away in the eye for that house before.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Yet, he was perfect before God. So you have to understand the definition of perfection. The star messenger for the fifth church age, Martin Luther, he was a star messenger. He was a smoker. He was smoking pipe. And yet, he was God's standard for that age. There is a reason. So you have to understand what is perfection. God defines what is acceptable to him as perfection at any given time. It's not he that willeth, nor he that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. Hallelujah. So that you understand the meaning of grace. The meaning of grace. He said, Abraham, leave your people and go to a place I will show you. He didn't know that place before he answered. And the Bible says, God told him that he will be a father of many nations. How it will happen, he didn't know. No beginning, no child. And he was in his old age. The Bible says, Abraham believed God. For that belief, it was counted to him for all righteousness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. A righteous sinner like me. Do you know that God is looking at me now? Praise the Lord. Not through my past history, but there is something he's looking at me through. He's looking at me through his mercy. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth, he shed that blood. And that blood, if you can come under that blood, every sin you have ever committed before, even God cannot see it. That is where our righteousness is. So when you say, is there any perfect church now? I will say there is. Because a perfect church is not a nomenclature. It is not an address somewhere. Because in heaven, there is no redeem there. Do you understand? In heaven, there is no bride assembly there. There is no choosing there. He may be the God of choosing. Yes, because many are called, few are chosen. But it's not because of an address somewhere bearing that name. It's not known anywhere. Praise God. You are known as an individual. You are known as an individual. That's what you must know. And that the body, the church of Jesus Christ is universal. It's not cut in any particular address. It's universal. And then if you have received the Holy Ghost, you become a member of that body by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. For by one spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13, are we baptized into that family. So, once you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, you are perfect before God. God sees you perfect. Because he offered a perfect sacrifice for us. It was not an animal. It was a perfect sacrifice. And that's why, unlike the Old Testament, they were making that sacrifice every year. But he came, the perfect sacrifice, came only once. Once. Praise the Lord. And he has become the high priest of our profession. Not in the Aaronic order. Hallelujah. That will be changed. But he came in the order of what? Melchizedek. The priest that abided forever. When God looks at me, then you can understand. They ask me why I'm happy. So I just tell them why.
Because my sins are gone.
My sins are gone. Hey! And when I meet the suffer, who are they where they are? I say, my sins are gone. They are under the blood.
Under the blood.
Hey.
As far remote as darkness is from God. In the sea.
In the sea of God. Forgetfulness.
As you lay down for me.
Praise
God. My sins are gone.
At the cross. At the cross. At the cross, where life falls on
the corner of my eye,
at the cross, it was there,
hey, it was there,
it was there, by faith, I received my sight, down at the cross, where my Savior died. Now we are for cleansing from sin. I cry. Here to my heart was the blood of God. Oh, glory to
God. Say somebody.
Glory to His name. Of us who found grace, these are the songs that ring from our spirits in our hearts. Songs of salvation. Wretched sinner like me. While I was a sinner, he died for me. He paid my bride price before I knew him. That's why I can sing, I love him. I love you because you just love me. I purchased my salvation. Hallelujah. Hey, you know, anytime you ask me a question about my salvation, why? You know why I went into the spirit like that? You are trying to remind me that I'm not perfect. So I'm giving you every reason for you to know that I am perfect in Christ. I hear the Savior say, I swear in this form, child of weakness, watch and pray. Guide me, thy loving love.
Hallelujah!
Jesus paid it all.
He paid it all. You see, he washed it white. Oh yeah, he has washed it. Oh yeah, tell me why I'm more perfect now. Oh yeah, look at me now. Look at me now. Father, tell me now why I am not perfect.
Thank you very much.
God bless you.
Thank you very much, sir. Before the revelation of how the rapture will take place, those that will suffer and some, how the devil will come back to deceive some people, it is believed that Christ gave a warning to the seven churches when he was talking to John. But my question is, these seven churches, I'm sorry to ask this, but where are they?
Like, they are where they are. They are.
No.
They are in Philadelphia. They are in Smyrna. They are in Ephesus. They are in Pergamos. They are where again? And Laodicea. That's where they are. They are actual cities that actually existed in Asia Minor. They were actual locations. Yes.
So, in other words, do we say that those warnings are not existing right now in the church?
Sir, are you a member of this church? No, you're a visitor?
No. I'm a member now.
Eh?
I'm a member now. I'm trying to know some things that I've never known before.
Please, get me a copy of Seven Church Ages. One copy somewhere, please. I want to dash you one book. You won't see it in any bookshop. But after reading that book, you will soon get to know the meaning of that revelation, chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. That is that book. Those were local churches, seven existing local churches, that God prophetically looked at the condition that existed in those churches and saw that when the church will start come to the Gentiles, because they were all Gentile places, that the church will go through seven different dispensations, and each dispensation will have the same characteristics that were existing at that time in those local churches. So use it to speak of all the seven church ages, each of them. And that's why the seven church ages, they are named, dispensational names, are likened to those seven local churches. Starting from Ephesus, the church in Ephesus. Seven of them ending in Laodicea. And this is the Laodicean church age. And see the description of the Laodicean church age, so that you will know that this is the age it was talking of church ages. Revelation chapter 3. So that you will know what I'm talking about. This is our own age, known as the Laodicean church. This is the message to the church in Laodicea. Verse 14. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, see the condition. Because thou sayest, that is your claim, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. Is that not the condition today? This is the age where you have billionaire preachers, billionaire churches. Some churches are richer than the states they are located. This is the age where pastors are buying private jets, riding state-of-the-art cars. You know what I mean? Church auditorium, you know what I mean? This is the age. Praise God. But while they say that, this is the testimony of heaven concerning the church. And knowest not that thou art wretched, spiritually you are wretched, and spiritually you are miserable, and spiritually you are poor, and spiritually you are blind, and spiritually you are naked. So we use that to understand the seven church ages, which I want to give you free of charge. Go and read it since you are studying. God bless you. I read this book. The only time I ever read it, I've not read it a second time. It was in 1990. But everything there, now I still preach to today. When you finish reading that book, you cannot enter any of this denomination and stay there.